Brett already mentioned, but I just want to touch on it again. The beginning of the year, a good time to start on a Bible reading plan to get through the whole Bible in a year. And there's copies of these out in the foyer. And also, after a little Christmas break, this Thursday morning, we are starting up again men's Bible study, 8 a.m. at the Ministry Center every Thursday morning. We're starting a new book. This Thursday, we're going to do Paul's letter to the Galatians, so you can get in right at the beginning. Come and join us. And it's good fellowship, and you always get a donut. So, and God's Word. Our New Testament text this morning is from John's Gospel. And once again, this is the lectionary text for today. Today is the last day of Christmas. So I know you're all going to have a blowout at your house tonight for Twelfth Night. But if you don't, well, we're not having one at our house either. But anyway, and tomorrow then traditionally is the Feast of the Epiphany. But today the lectionary still has us focusing on the wonder, the mystery, the great miracle of the incarnation, that eternal God became flesh and lived among us. And usually in Christmas, at Christmas time, we focus on the accounts of the birth of Jesus, and rightly so, in Luke and Matthew. John does not give us a birth narrative. John gives us the theology. John gives us the truth going on behind the veil, as it were, in the birth of Jesus. And so I'm going to read John 1, and a little bit less than what it says in the bulletin. I'm going to read 1 through 14. Hear now the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me now? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 63 B.C., a special child was born to a family of Roman aristocrats, and a messenger ran into the Roman Senate with the news. And he said, "I bring you good news, the birth of a God, a Savior, the next ruler of the world is born." The baby's name was Octavius. He was selected before he was born to be the adopted son of Julius Caesar. And of course, he was raised in wealth and splendor. He was educated in philosophy and history and what the Romans called the ars rhetorica, the arts of rhetoric, the arts of persuasion. At the age of 33, he became Caesar, absolute ruler of the known world. At his word, the legions were dispatched anywhere in the world to enforce Rome's will. The Roman Senate gave him the name Augustus, exalted one. And he presided over the golden age of the Roman Empire. When he was about 60, give or take, he gave an order that there be a census throughout his empire. And because of that census, at least he thought it was because of that census, a couple named Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem, where another baby was born. He was not announced by a messenger in the Senate, Roman Senate. He was announced by God's messenger, an angel, who said, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He was born not in a palace, but in a stable. He was educated not in philosophy and rhetoric, but in scripture and carpentry. At age 33, he ascended not to a Roman throne, but to a Roman cross. John says, let me read it again. John says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name," that's where I want to focus today. "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." I love that contrast between the birth of Caesar and the birth of Jesus. And you probably notice there's a little bit of an echo between, and that, by the way, that was recorded by Roman historians, "I bring you good news, the birth of a God." And I think God had a sense of humor that he gave a similar message to his angels to take to Bethlehem about the real Savior of the world, the real God with us, who came not for Roman aristocrats. Well, he came for them, but he came for everybody. For rich, for poor. Most of all, for those who know their need of a Savior. Now, the fact that you're in church today, I'm not going to make too many assumptions, but I will assume that the fact that you're in church today would indicate that you're probably going to agree with me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And I really believe that the way John, well, it's not just the way he starts his gospel, throughout his gospel, and John even gets explicit in chapter 20, he says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing have life in his name." And John even folds that into his prologue, the beginning of his gospel, to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not born of the flesh, the way all of us got born, but born of God. So John is really asking us a question right up front in his gospel. And I think it's a good question to start the new year, even if you've been, even if you received and believed long ago, to be refreshed in this question: is he your Savior? It's one thing to say he's the Savior of the world. Is he your Savior? Are you trusting him for your salvation? Are you trusting him alone? And notice that word, there's a little word in there that really throws a monkey wrench into a lot of lazy theology and a lot of lazy beliefism. To those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You catch that? Child of God is something you become. And like I said, there's a lot of lazy, sloppy, agape theology. Oh, every person on earth is a child of God. Jesus, by the way, said to the Pharisees, "You're children of your father, the devil." There was a family resemblance. He gave the right to become children of child of God is something you become. There was a famous Presbyterian preacher of a past era. He was the president of Princeton Seminary. His name was John Alexander Mackay, mid-20th century. He was the president of Princeton Seminary. He preached a very famous sermon, which is still worth a read. You can Google it and find it. The title of the sermon says it all. It's called "God Has No Grandchildren." God has lots of children, praise God. And I hope and pray you're one. Nobody inherits it. God has no grandchildren. The title "child" belongs to those who receive and believe, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. So I want to ask you this morning, and as I said, maybe you received and believed long ago, but the beginning of the year, this close of the Christmas season today, is a good moment to look into your own heart and ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and to be refreshed. Now, so I want to ask you today, are you putting the full weight of your hope on Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him alone for your salvation? Are you trusting him to forgive your sin, to liberate you from bondage to the past? Are you trusting in him to take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh that's tender toward God, that's tender toward your brothers and sisters in Christ and your neighbors in the world? Are you trusting in Christ alone? Is he your Lord? Have you submitted every part of your life to him, so that there's no corner of your life where you're saying, "No, this is mine, Lord, and I'm going to do what I want with it"? But have you submitted every corner of your life to him? And are you trusting him alone for your salvation? Not in any goodness in you, any good work in you, but just in his saving power through the cross. Have you received and believed? Now, if you're standing just on the outside of that, or maybe you're going through a, a patch where you're wondering. And by the way, that's very normal and very human, this side of eternity. What I just said to you is a lot to swallow. How do you do that? We live in very skeptical times, and that skepticism leaks into even believers. So how do you do that? How do you receive and believe so that you become a child of God? Well, Jesus put it very simply. And it occurred to me as I was praying about this week that to become a child, you have to come as a child. That's what Jesus said. To become a child, you must come as a child. Remember, Jesus said, this is in Matthew 18. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's often said that Christmas is for children. You've heard that? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why you must come as a child on this last day of Christmas. Number one, come as a child because children are open to believing. Children are open to believing. Children live in a world of mystery. They haven't sealed their minds shut. They live in a world full of mystery and possibilities. Now, of course, as we grow, we get skeptical and we outgrow childish notions that we think are childish anyway. I recommend a book to you for 2020. If you've never read it, C.S. Lewis's spiritual autobiography is called Surprised by Joy. And in it, he writes about his childhood, where he very much as a boy, and this isn't surprising if you know C.S. Lewis, he lived very much in his imagination. And he created a little world, and in a little world in a cookie tin, a round, you know, those round cans that, you know, the lid comes off and there are cookies in it. Well, he created a little world in a cookie tin when he was a boy, and he made little trees out of twigs and moss. And his parents had given him little animal figurines that he put into the cookie tin, and he called it Animal Land. And the animals would talk with each other. Does this all start to sound familiar if you've read the Chronicles of Narnia? Well, as he grew older, of course, he outgrew Animal Land, and it went up on a shelf. And as a young man, as so many men of his generation, he joined the British Army in World War I. He was severely wounded on the battlefield in France, and he came home a broken man, a broken young man. He became cynical and atheistic. He had trouble believing that a good God would allow such suffering and mayhem in his world. And it was years later, there was a longing in his heart that he couldn't shake, an emptiness in his heart, and just this longing, and he came to identify it in his mind with Animal Land. And he wanted to get back to being that boy that believed that this other world was possible. And it was through the influence of his friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien challenged him with the gospel and said, There's something in your heart, Jack, that wants to believe in fairy tales. And Tolkien told him, the gospel is a fairy tale, and it's a true tale. It happened. The longing in your heart God placed there for a purpose, because there's a fulfillment for that longing in Jesus Christ. And C.S. Lewis became a Christian. And as a part of his witness, Animal Land became Narnia. Children believe in a mystery-filled world where there is much more going on than meets the eye. And guess what, brothers and sisters? So does the Bible. The Bible shows us a mystery, a God-filled world. As the great Roman Catholic poet Gerard Manley Hopkins said, the world is charged with the glory of God. It will flash out like shining from shook foil. The biblical view of reality is there's an invisible world that we cannot see. It's behind a veil. And we just don't have the eyes to see it. But every now and then, the veil is lifted. Think of the appearance of the angels at Bethlehem's field to announce the birth of Jesus. I don't think those angels had to make a long trip. It's simply that the veil was lifted. And the shepherds were given eyes to see what had been there all along. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is here right now in this room. He said, wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am. To know him, to experience him, you have to come as a child and drop your guard, drop your skepticism. You must have a childlike openness to believe. Second, you must come as a child because children are really good at receiving. Remember, we're to receive and believe. Come as a child because children are good at receiving. Adults are lousy at receiving. The Christmas season, even though today in the church year, today is the last day of Christmas, but for us it's been over for quite a few days. Ever since the close of the day on the 25th, Christmas has been over, right? And confess it, you're relieved. Because there's presents to buy, and there's people coming over to the house, and there's big meals to prepare. And we enjoy it. It's lots of fun, and we get to be with family, but it's stressful. And when it's over, we take a deep breath, and whew, glad that's over. Yep. How many children do you think were stressed out in December? How many children were living in angst that the relatives were coming over? How many children worried about how the meal would turn out or how the house looked? Because children are good at receiving. They don't worry about somebody bringing them a gift because now I have to give you a gift and why did you give it to me anyway? No, bring it. Adults will harumph and say, now when you grow up, you'll know that Christmas is all about giving. Bunk. Christmas is all about receiving. I bring you good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. To those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You have to humble yourself. Come with empty hands. There's an old hymn that says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling." You have to come childlike and say, "Lord, I need you." And just receive. You have nothing to offer him. Receive. Children are good at it. Be a child. Third, you must come as a child because children know that they have a future. Children have hope. Children have all kinds of wonderful dreams about what they're going to do, what they're going to become. They don't worry about their future. They don't carry the past around like a heavy backpack, which we adults do. Children are not weighed down by the regret and guilt of past failures. Now, many adults do. We do carry the past around with us. And we are tempted to despair that the future can't be any different from the past. As a pastor, I hear a lot of "if only" talk. And truth be told, I can lapse into "if only" self-talk in my own heart and mind. If only I hadn't said that. If only I hadn't done that. If only I had spent more time with my kids. If only... Well, you fill in the blank, and I know you have some. Now, it's true. It's true, of course, that you cannot undo the past. You cannot become a child again. You cannot be like a brand new baby with a fresh start. You can't do any of that. It would take a miracle, wouldn't it? That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, "Nicodemus, unless you're born again, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Remember, Nicodemus came to him asking about the kingdom. "Unless a man be born again," said Jesus, "he cannot enter." And Nicodemus, I can hear him just sighing. And he said, "Oh, how can a man be born when he is old?" And Jesus said, and this is part of what Jesus said, "Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, it's not something you can do, Nicodemus. It's something only God can do. Only the Holy Spirit of God can blow through you like a wind and make you new. If you would become a child of God, you must believe that God has a future for you, that God can make you new. Not only can, but will, because he's promised it. To those who received, who believed, he gave the right to become children of God, like a brand new baby. So how do you do that? Well, it's so simple that children get it much easier than adults. John made it very simple. Receive and believe. Receive him as Lord and Savior. And that means to receive him as Lord means to submit your life to him and repent of your self-directed life. Repent of being Lord to yourself. Repent of being God to yourself. Repent of playing God. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Lord, I place my past, my present, my future into your hands. I'm trusting you for my salvation. I'm trusting you to cleanse away my sin by the power of your blood shed on the cross. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And then believe in his name. Now, in the Bible, the name is the person. Believe in who he is. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God who took on flesh. Believe that he went to the cross to forgive your sin. Believe that he rose from the dead to give you life. And trust that by faith you are in Christ. By the way, there's an interesting thing going on there in the Greek text. It says to those who received him, who believed, literally it says, believed into his name. To those who received him, who believed into his name. That's interesting, isn't it? To believe into him. Paul's favorite phrase in his letters is in Christ. Remember, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Wow. Believe into him. Believe that his life has become your life. That his identity, your identity, has been absorbed into his so that you share his relationship with the Father. You're a child of God. Amen. Let's pray. Mighty Father, give us grace, I pray, at the beginning of this new year to put aside our adult pretenses and come as children to receive and believe. What a wonderful promise you've made that to anyone, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what is in the past, that if we would only receive and believe, we are your children. Give us grace to hold fast to this truth. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.